This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
We get into the last hour of the program for the 1st of July, and we're talking civil society participation in the South African development agenda after the elections. Now, one thing is sure. South Africans, all 21 million of you, showed up to cast your votes this year. Okay? A good figure. Almost 60% of you had something to say. And that something has had a colossal impact on the political establishment. Good for you. You used your power. You used your vote. You were not passive. Okay? So that's one thing. But that's the one thing you can do every 5 years or every 2.5 years if you participate in the local elections, more frequently if you even get involved in by-elections. But we know that most of us don't. We show up every 5 years and then for the municipal elections as well, if even. So how do you make sure that there's accountability for you, that your local councillor is working in your best interests, right? Rand Water says they're going to do a big, massive shutdown soon. Maintenance, that's fine. But how do you keep abreast with what they're doing? Your local councillor should be doing that for you. Do you know your local councillor who will make sure that the schedule is updated, that if there's a complicating variable like a burst pipe, you are told about it, you know, and that if they promise to return the water by close of business today and they don't, that somebody holds them accountable? All of those actions is what we call democracy at work. How involved are you? Parliament is now in session for the 7th administration, and they'll be doing a lot of work in Cape Town. But when Parliament goes into recess, did you know that those MPs are meant to be doing constituency work? They're not in recess like school holidays with children, no. They are in recess for a month to go back to the constituencies to say, this is what we're working on. This is how far we've come. Are there any additional issues in this financial year that you'd like us to take to Parliament? This is where they should be gazetting stuff with you. Are we aware of that? And when you're not working within the formal political processes, working with councillors or MPs in an election, how else can you get involved about the things that matter to you? So I heard on Power Breakfast this morning somebody saying school governing bodies are the authority in each school. Yes, participating in an SGB is a form of social and civic participation, and so on and so forth, as people would say. Now, a lot of negotiation has been taking place around creating, establishing, consolidating this government of national unity. So a lot of stuff has been happening at the high level. But civic activists have been saying a national dialogue is needed. A national dialogue is needed. And it's been echoed by many activists. It's even been echoed by former President Thabo Mbeki. And even President Ramaphosa has said there needs to be a moment where we talk as a country about what are the pressing needs and concerns. So these should not be people's grievances on a talk show or what people raise during a door-to-door campaign. It's the kind of conversations that would be spearheaded by independent bodies, universities and various commissions to say, this needs to be addressed at a bureaucratic level. This needs to be addressed in higher and basic education. This is what's needed on the immigration policy side. Infrastructure, you've got less money. You know, the money you do have, start here, go there. Lifestyle audits, accountabilities. This is what we need in terms of, many people say they're uncomfortable with the Constitution, for instance, that crime is so bad, we should really rethink this idea of the death penalty. I'm not advocating for it, but I'm saying national dialogues are the fora where those things need to come up. And for you to say, what does a constitutional review look like? The supremacy of the Constitution versus Parliament, the independence of judges, a lot of things that come up in public discourse needs to go into a national dialogue. Would you participate in that dialogue? Who would be champions and stewards of that dialogue? And so civic participation starts to become so much more layered when we think about it and how we get people to really make sure that their presence is felt in between elections in a democracy. So let's speak to two experts who are going to help us understand, now that we know what we know, the election has come and gone, the results have been read, the disputes have been lodged, a cabinet has been announced. Now the work of the seventh administration begins. What is your responsibility, you, the citizen of South Africa? We're joined by Mark Haywood, who's the founder and former director of Section 27. Good morning, Mark Haywood.
Morning, Loranta.
And thanks for your time. Solly Moeng is a brand management specialist. Good morning, Solly Moeng.
Hello, Loranta. Hello, my Mark.
And good morning.
And thank you so much for coming through. So, Mark, let's start with you, because if ever there was a face of civic activism, it would be people like you, from the days of the Treatment Action Campaign to Section 27 and many, many other fora around, you know, decent housing in South Africa. You've been in it. Healthcare, housing, education, you've been in it. So how do people get involved?
Great. Well, let me start by saying this, Lerato. I mean, I loved your introduction. I think you put your finger on all of the critical issues. And I just want to say that, you know, for democracy to work, we must work for democracy. South Africa's democracy, as you've said, is not just a democracy where you go and vote every couple of years for local or national government. It's what we call a participatory democracy. And the law is set up at every level to enable citizens to participate, to have their ideas heard, to work with government to fix the problems that we face in a country. And the problem is not so much that law prevents us, the problem is that we are often ignorant of our own power and our own rights. So one of the starting points has to be conversations like this, where we all get to understand our rights and how we can act on those rights. That's the first thing that I want to say. The second thing I want to say is that in our country, there is no shortage of issues that need our attention and which we need to find solutions to. You know, we've had our election, and thankfully it was a peaceful election, and many of us are excited about this new structure of government, about government of national unity. But at the end of the day, the situation that existed before the election and the day after the election and today is exactly the same. And that is a situation where millions of our fellow country people are struggling. You know, we have 20 million people who are hungry, live on a spectrum of hunger. We have 30% unemployment, 60% youth unemployment. We have communities that are racked by crime and by drugs. And so we have to focus on those issues, and we have to focus on finding the solutions to those issues. So I would say, you know, in conclusion, in opening this, Lerato, that I'm excited by the idea of a national dialogue. But what I don't want is a national dialogue, because we talk a lot in this country. What I don't want is a national dialogue of more big, expensive summits that are held in hotels in urban areas and come up with grand plans that nobody implements.
Right.
What I think is we need a national dialogue of around implementing solutions that exist to every single one of the problems that I've talked about. So let me give you just one example. I mentioned hunger. Hunger does not need to exist in this country. We are not a country that doesn't produce enough food. Hunger is made by us. It's made by the systems by which we distribute or fail to distribute system. People have come up with ideas. Civil society has multiple ideas about how to address hunger and malnutrition. Mm. So the challenge has to be to get those ideas on the table and to get agreement about how collectively we can implement those ideas, to put our egos aside and for each one of us to literally be public servants for the good of all the people of this country.
All right, Solimoeng, let's bring you into the conversation. There's many ways in which citizens can be active. And we saw it. When people have something to say, they showed up on the 29th of May. It shouldn't stop there. Right. So what keeps that momentum going?
Thanks, Lerato. Hi. You know, Lerato, I think that we need to move to a point in South Africa where, let me take you back to 1955. You know, South Africans came together, they decided what kind of country they wanted to live in, and that gathering ended up in a document that is famously known as the Freedom Charter, and part of which ended up in the Constitution of 2006. Now, that's what we need in South Africa. We shouldn't go to national dialogues called by politicians without knowing what you want to hear, so that they could do. So we get there, the politicians run the show. We go there to listen to what they have to say. The people have to find a way to recreate a charter in 2024. That would be largely canvassed and got, you know, created in a way that as many, you know, ideas and perspectives are shared into it, so that they are summarized into something that says this is the kind of South Africa we want to live in, so that by the time we get invited to meet up with politicians, it's not up to them to tell us this is how it's going to roll. It's up to us, the people, collectively in a document that we all agree on, to say this is what we want. So we need a more informed civil society. People mustn't just be given fish or food, if you want, to feed their hunger. They must be given the tools to create, to catch their own fish. And the so-called public participation processes in South Africa are a sham. We know that many times communities have said no to stuff, and the government would go ahead and do those things anyway. So we need to strengthen the hand of civil society. We need to come up with tools that say, actually, we need to look at all these so-called democratic institutions that we created since 1994, and look at how many of them, if not all of them, have proven to be vulnerable to weakening and to repurposing to fit the purposes of politicians. So how do we make sure that the things that have been done to South Africa don't happen again? How do we make sure that public participation process, a serious participation process, informed citizens know what they want, and when they decide it's a yes or a no, the politicians must respect. We're not there yet.
Okay. It seems to me, just if I'm deducing from what both of you gentlemen are saying, what needs to happen before the big national dialogue is smaller dialogues need to be happening at community level and within sectors. So if there's a food and a hunger problem, we need to be seeing NGOs like Food Forward, Gift of the Givers, the retailers getting together in an imbizo called by the industry of food retail, the farmers. They need to have an imbizo. They need to come up with a document, and then they need to pick representatives. Then that happens. Healthcare, nurses, doctors, they all need to go and sit and have a conversation about the healthcare system, similarly with education, etc. And then by the time there's a national dialogue, these documents exist sectorally, and then we get on with the business of saying to the government, we the people. Is this what I'm hearing, Mark Haywood?
Yes, it is what you're hearing from both of us. My only caution, Lerato, would be, And this is a caution to civil society as well, because civil society doesn't always behave in the most effective ways, is that we generate policies and ideas constantly, but we don't get them down to making a difference at community level. And the test of this will be whether the national dialogue is felt in the poorest community, in the rural areas, by a young person who's kind of given up and is now taking drugs. You know, that's the measure of good government. I mean, Solly mentioned this idea of charters, and I agree with it. At the moment, or for the last 6 months, I've been working with the community in Clip, which is planning the dip. And it's very ironic that it was the site of the Freedom Charter. But today they don't have water, they don't have sanitation, there's terrible crime, most people are hungry and unemployed. You know, we've developed a Cliptown community charter as a way of kind of distilling the vision that the Cliptown community has for itself. and what we want of society and what we want of politicians. And I think that's something that we need to look at across the country, because we have these dialogues. You call it a national dialogue. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it takes place in Pretoria or Johannesburg or Cape Town, but doesn't reach the vast majority of people.
Yeah, I get you. Your line is breaking up a little bit there, but I think I distilled what you said is that, you know, we can talk about a national strategic vision and objective, but really at times each region has a more particular vision for itself. And so sometimes we don't need to be dialoguing with the president about Cliptown. We need to be dialoguing with the mayor and the premier about the Cliptown problem. And he needs to understand that particular facet of dialogue.
No, precisely. Exactly. Okay. And we have to see how the issues overlap with each other.
Okay.
So,
Sally, go ahead.
I'm also part of the United South Africa movement, which is made up of South Africans from across the board, and some of whom sit in the diaspora outside of the country. All of them concerned about South Africa. We created last year, following lots of consultations, a charter of resolutions, and it's a tandem charter of resolutions. What do the people want? But obligations. I think a lot of times we spend time demanding. We the people. We want this. We want this. But a lot of the changes that need to happen for South Africa to be a better place to live have to come from the ground, not from the top, not the top. The littering. People are the ones who, it's not politicians who go around throwing papers and tins out of their cars and taxis and bottles. So there are certain things that responsibilities that we, the people, have to take if we want to live in a better. We have to agree what is acceptable, what is not acceptable. So we're happy to share the charter, and with Mark, and Mike will share with us, and maybe let's put them all into a common basket and improve them so that in the end, Mark is absolutely correct. When we get called, invited, we shouldn't be summoned by politicians. The politicians work for the people, not the other way around. And we should stop treating politicians like heroes and heroines. We dance with them even when they keep stealing from us. They are the people that should be fearful of us, not the other way around. So we should get together so that by the time we sit down with them, we say, guys, this is what we, the people, want. Having converse people in all parts of the country and on all topics, as Mark says. And we sit there ready to engage because if you go there unprepared, it's going to be them deciding what is the topic. It's going to be shouting a beer hall and walk around thinking we've spoken about things, but we haven't. Last thing, Mark says we make these policies. We don't make policies. The government makes policies. Up to now, the ANC has made policies. I'm also excited that the ANC no longer has a sole control of policy making for South Africa. And I hope that it gets weaker so that as a country as diverse as we are, we need as many perspectives as they are. White, black, colored, Indian, no one part of South Africa is more belonging to that country than others.
Nobody has a monopoly on the citizenship and the rights of the country.
Definitely not.
You've said quite a few interesting things, Solly. Let's start off with the first one, which is an allusion to a famous saying, which is, with all rights, there are responsibilities. So we can demand things of the politicians, but we have personal responsibility. So you can demand an RDP house as part of your right to decent housing. But once you've got that house, you have to look after it. That's your responsibility. Yes. You can't say, where's the government to come and water the grass on my lawn? You got given a subsidized home. You have a responsibility to it, just by way of an example.
People... I wonder how many people buy stolen things. They don't ask themselves, was somebody raped, killed, murdered, stabbed before this thing gets to me? How many of them have relatives who come home with money? They don't know where this money comes from. Stuff that's stolen, TV sets, the radios, cars. I was in South Africa. I'm currently in Switzerland. I was in South Africa last year. I was robbed of my bike, of my road bike. That bike, I'm told, is sold to some bicycle shops. They know they buy these things from these people who steal them, who don't even know the value of them. So we feed the beast. I mean, stealing is one of those things. And the buying stolen stuff because it's cheaper than buying it from a proper commercial store. That's the part. Those are the questions that we, the people, have to ask ourselves. To what extent are we, each of us, feeding the beast that is making South Africa the bad country that it has become?
Okay, Mark, I don't know if you want to wade in before we go to news headlines about rights and responsibilities, but also about the things we normalize as citizens in South Africa.
except to agree with you. It is rights and it is responsibilities, and I believe in both. And I would just give one other example to add to what you've mentioned. You know, we have a water crisis in this country. We have a right to sufficient water in our constitution, which is really important. But we also have a responsibility not to waste water, not to pollute water, because we're a water scarce country. So all of these have to be thrown into the pot as we try to work solutions for the next phase of government that we face. I agree.
Okay. We're in conversation with Soli Mueng, a brand management specialist. We're also joined by Mark Haywood, founder and former director of Section 27. We're going to talk about civil participation, civil society participation in this post-election GNU era.
You're listening to Lerato Mbele on Power 98.7.
Yes, thank you for listening to us this first day of July 2024 in the last half hour of Power Talk for this morning. Now, obviously, it is the morning after the night before. The president has now officially revealed his national executive or the cabinet, as it's colloquially known, who will help him implement policy under what is called a government of national unity. Some people have even bemoaned that term, government of national unity. No, it looks more like a grand coalition, and then they've given their reasons why. If it was national unity, then the four or five biggest parties would be part of it, and then magnanimously you would extend it to smaller parties. It's not quite how it worked, so it's more grand coalition. But be that as it may, you've got about 11 parties that have attached their signature to a statement of intent to form a government of national unity. Not all of them were compensated, shall we say, with cabinet positions yesterday, but nonetheless they remain part of this unity government, which means, in other words, like Razem Zansi said today, on issues that we care about, such as food security, job creation, we will lend a helping hand. If it's expertise that's needed, we will lend our expertise. If it's research and data that's needed, we will lend the information. If it's just, you know, holding hands, we're going to do it. We don't need cabinet posts in order to be able to play a constructive role to build South Africa. So that's sort of the spirit in which some people understand unity. Now, what happens at a national level where you cultivate that same sort of spirit, where you say, oh, are they having a problem with government communications? Maybe they should speak to media practitioners and sort that out. And, you know, maybe people lend their time to the state. I'm not saying that's how it should be, but how can we all come together with what we know and build for a better South Africa? And so a national dialogue is one platform and forum. Leading and governing and representation is another forum. Obviously, elections and by-elections is one way you use to make your views felt and heard. And then what? Protest is a form of activism, but it's not the only form of activism. So what other ways can people get involved in the interests of the country? We are in a conversation with Mark Haywood, founder and former director of Section 27, and Soli Mueng, brand management specialist. Quite a few things were said by both of you gentlemen before we went to the news headlines, but I want to refer to something that was raised about South Africa and its diversity. Soli Mueng spoke about it, that nobody has a monopoly on citizenship in South Africa. We are all citizens of this country, regardless of race, color, religion, and creed. And then, Mark, you then said, however, there are a lot of inequalities in South Africa, and how we experience South Africa will vary based on geography or wealth. And that starts to complicate this citizenship issue in South Africa. Please help us understand, when we have dialogues and you've cautioned, let's not talk about people, let's include people. How do we do that when there's so much dissonance and polarities in this country?
Look, the diversity...
Okay, Soli, you go.
Yeah, look, it's true that the diversity of South Africa makes dialogues dialogue is very difficult or complicated because we have different languages, different levels of education. Not everybody speaks English. You know, how do we ensure that people are able to contribute to what you call the national dialogue or whatever at a level with the language that they best understand? You know, that is the first thing we need to do. But we tend to talk about the pain of colonialism and of apartheid without talking about the pain of the past 10 years of Africanism and Congress abuses. And I get really upset when people do that. You know, if you think about it, if you created a system that took care of every South African child who showed potential or needed help, irrespective of what the child looked like, most beneficiaries would be black anyway because of the sheer number of black people. So we don't need race discriminating laws in order to heal the pains of the past. We need to take care of vulnerabilities where they are, but we also need to ensure that those who are, say, white South Africans continue to love this country. They don't think they need to leave because there's no future for them. They must contribute here in this country. Whether they're actually people who live South Africa are not just white, they're black, they're colored, they're Indian. Many of them are in Australia, in Canada, in many countries. How do we also build the diaspora of South Africa that loves, that wants to contribute to South Africa? And they don't have to come to South Africa. They can encourage businesses to come here, tourists to come here. How do we build that amazing community of diverse South Africans that understands the pain and that will contribute? Many of them, there's a lot of goodwill across the board in South Africa. We need those parties who are now saying we're not going to be part of the GNU if you include white people. The DA, it's nonsense. Those people don't belong to the kind of South Africa that we must build. This country belongs to all of us. All of us. We must judge people on their character.
Okay.
Anybody who says there's no pain and who doesn't have the ethic or the empathy for the pain that exists maybe doesn't okay. needs to be taught to do that. But they come from across the board. So there are good people and there are bad people in all spheres of South Africa.
Okay.
Let's rally the good people in the middle and build a better country.
Yeah, except poverty is not necessarily the reason why you're cruel, but it does exacerbate the cruelty, because for how long must you suffer, be hungry, go to bed hungry, etc. So there are justifications for many things that are wrong in South Africa, unfortunately. Mark Haywood, you were going to wade in.
Well, I want to say that, you know, we, as we've seen from the election, we are a country that desires unity and manages to hold together, but we're not a united country at the moment.
Mm.
We are divided by inequality. We're divided by inequality in who suffers and what people suffer.
Mm.
And I don't think you can create a united country just by creating something that we call a government national unity. You can't just wish it into being. We have to create a united country through action. And I would like to see a government of national solidarity, that its actions are based around solidarity, around the principle that everybody in this country has an equal right. Nobody should suffer, particularly when suffering is preventable and is unnecessary. Mm. So it's how we do that. And I keep on saying, you know, these talks about in the past, we've talked about a social contract. Again, it's something that's abstract, that's up in the air. We have to take these things back down to local level. And you need to look around the Lerato in your community, and I need to look around in my community and say, how do we build solidarity in the community? How do we make this community safe? How do we make sure that if there are children in my geographic area who are hungry, that there are systems to try to make sure that there are food?
Right.
That if there are very all children who need to be part of an early childhood development center, that we work to create them. You know, all of these solutions are in our hands.
Yeah.
And the problem of discussions about activism is that the activists can't answer the question, well, what actually should I be doing to make the country better? We have to answer that question.
Okay. Mark, I want to stay with you, even though I have to warn your line is a little bit patchy, but it is what it is. Okay, so we've now got a government of national unity, whatever people may say to credit it or discredit it. The fact is it's there now. It's here.
Yeah.
And with that mix, that ideological mix, that demographic and racial mix, and that policy mix, would this accelerate some of the solutions that we need dealt with around crime, around the economy and the faltering rand, around unemployment, around education? Would this different, you know, would this cabinet that has different perspectives suddenly create a platform where people solve differently for problems?
It should, Lerato, because in diversity, there is strength. And in that mix, there are multiple networks of expertise that government can draw upon, experience that we can draw upon. So my advice to those politicians would be, you're no longer there to represent the DA or the ANC or RISE or whoever it may be. All of the political parties had a common set of critical issues, agreed on a common set of critical issues that face the country. And again, I say crime, I say hunger, I say unemployment and health and education. Mm. So let's put our minds together. Let's take off our party political hats and let's work on the solutions to these problems.
Yeah, well, the initial agreement was based on a nine-point plan, and the nine-point plan was economic growth, land reform, job creation, a suggestion for devolution of powers, foreign policy based on human rights. So there is a blueprint of sorts, Solimoe.
Yeah, can I just say, you know, we can't wish this thing. We can't just wish for people to take their political hats off. And that's what I'm saying. The systems, for now, we have parliamentarians who are actually party representatives. They're not public representatives. They don't report. They don't report to the public, to constituents. So if I were, say, a member of the DA and he said, you know, Palapala is bothering me, I'm going to make notes about Palapala, the DA will remove me from parliament, whether you like it or not. If I were to come in there and push something that I've been pushing as an opposition party in this collective now, that is good for South Africa, and the party feels it's going to jeopardize their partnership in the collective, the party will pull me out. So we also need to look at this system where politicians don't care about the public. Well, they're all going to go in there in the public. I'm happy with Action SA having said we're staying outside, or those who are staying outside, because somebody has to watch them. And we, the people, cannot rely on the goodwill or the good health of politicians to hold up, to take care of our rights. We still have to play a part. There are NGOs across the world. I was involved with the Community Trust in Cape Town at some point. Amazing South Africans of all backgrounds who are doing amazing work. We need to identify these people, support them. They are doing work that government is not able to do. They are reaching into communities where government is not. Let's support groundwork by civil society, but let's hold those in power accountable. And let's make sure that parliamentarians represent the public, not the politicians.
Solly, I just feel at this stage I need to raise something just by way of transparency. And you'll correct me if I'm wrong. If I understand it, you also were a candidate in this election for Action SA. I don't know whether you've accepted the deployment to Parliament or not, but is that correct?
Yes. Look, I've been speaking truth to power. I mean, Michael would also join the party at some point with the gentleman who was representing. He pulled out. At some point, I've been making noise against South Africa, against wrongdoing, speaking truth to power for years. I mean, I'm actually in Switzerland now because they blacklisted me. They made my life hell in South Africa. So when Action SA said, hey, we have elections, come and be part of change. I mean, I had been speaking to a number of political parties in the opposition. I said, yeah, I'm going to be less. You can't keep doing things the same way over and over again. Okay. And expect different outcomes. Okay, so I did come to South Africa, but I'm back in Switzerland now. I'm not a parliamentarian. I continue to run with the civil society movement and to speak truth against anybody who is there, who speaks, who acts against the public.
Okay, but from what you're saying, you know, even if whether you run for office or you don't run for office, there are many ways to participate, and you've tried quite a few.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about what happens now. There could be a national dialogue. There's definitely a government of national unity and a new cabinet. And there are pressing concerns. I mean, if I was a member of cabinet right now, I have to be honest, Solly and Mark, I would be loath to be sitting in a national dialogue because crime is an urgent issue. Electricity is an urgent issue. There's a water shutdown. You know, talk shops aren't going to fix the problem. So the question is, you know, what are the sensible things for this government, the seventh administration, to be doing right now, Mark Hayward?
Well, addressing the very issues that you've just raised, the national dialogue should not distract government from the national dialogue should be a way of pulling people's power together and mobilizing society around fixing some of the critical challenges that face this country. Mm. That's what it's about. And we have to say, what are those critical challenges? As I've said a number of times, that for me, I keep talking about food. I just think it's unconscionable.
Yeah.
You know, that 20% of children under the age of 5 in this country are stunted.
Yeah.
That means that those children will be disadvantaged throughout their life as they grow up.
Yeah.
What are we going to do practically to change that? What are we going to do when it comes to the price of food stuffs? What are we going to do when it comes to agricultural production of critical foodstuffs?
Yeah.
What are we going to do about people's solidarity to ensure that people get the food? But those are the questions that we need to answer. My skepticism about this whole thing, Solly reflects it a little bit, is we've become a country of summit dialogues and conferences and so on and so on. Very good at that. Those things make no difference to the two-year-old who is not getting enough nutrition to grow properly, both physically and intellectually. Let's measure it by the two-year-old. Let's measure progress by the disadvantaged young boy or girl in a community.
Solly, let's bring you in before we take two callers. So the first issue is, what should be in the inbox of the new national executive? I mean, they get sworn in tomorrow, but when they hit the ground running, what should they be doing?
I think all of those parties that are now in the GNU must not forget the promises they made to the people, the promises that made them go all the way into the GNU in the first place for the sake of their longevity, the survival in office. Otherwise, it's going to be trouble. They are the government that we have for the next 5 years. People have voted for them at various levels of support, and we expect them to play their part. They shouldn't turn around and become the... And fortunately, nobody now controls the absolute power over decision-making, which is a good thing. So they should know, they should be... And we, the people, should keep them on their toes. If they don't do the right thing, we have elections again, municipal elections in 2.5 years, we should kick them out. But we should also change the system so that they are more accountable to the people and not to the political party bosses.
Okay, I'll ask my last question later on. But for now, Mighty, that's a beautiful name, Mighty in Northcliffe. Good morning.
Good morning, and how are you?
Fine, thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, just two quick issues. The first one, I just want to remind Solly, that Section 9 of the Constitution talks about the right to equality. And Section 9.2 thereof says that affirmative action legislation must be passed to redress the imbalances of the past. So I have a problem with an approach of Action SA, including that of Solly, and the DA, who are opposed to redress measures and wants to label them as race-based. And when they do so, they're not being called to order in terms of the rule of law, respect of the Constitution, and all those other things that other parties like the MK, for instance, are being subjected to. So we need to get this debate very clear. The DA is not being attacked because it is white. The people that have got a problem with the DA are because the DA is anti-Section 9 of the Constitution in terms of affirmative action. And there's no... just a week ago, the Department of Labor released its report. The demographics in white corporate South Africa still resembles that of apartheid. And we want to be told by the people like Solly and the DA and Action SA that we must leave this thing to the market to sort it out. That's point number one that I wanted to correct, that Power FM listeners shouldn't fall into this kind of approaches that are disingenuous. The second one is a national dialogue. We are a constitutional democracy. Every 5 years we have elections. Before the election, we have our national dialogue. And once that national dialogue has been held, we have elections, and thereafter we've got a government. That government must therefore implement. We cannot be in a situation where if the results are not in favor of certain people, then they would like to take us back to a so-called national dialogue. Without a national dialogue, if they want a national dialogue again, they must wait for 5 years so that we can have another one.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Soli, I don't know if you want to respond.
No, I do. I do. I do want to respond. First of all, I'm not here speaking for any political party, not the DA, not the ANC, or Action SA. I speak there as a South African who's concerned. Now, many countries across the world have changed, amended their constitutions, including Switzerland, where I am now, over time, when the time circumstances change. There are certain other things that must change in the South African community's constitution. We have placed too much power in the presidency, and we've seen how that power has been abused over time. As we go into a multi-party era, we don't need so much power in the hands of one person. But in terms of redress, I said, and I will always say, that we need to take care of pain wherever pain exists, okay? And we can do so without racializing the thing. We can do so without racializing the thing. We can build a country where people don't say to themselves, I'm not the right color, therefore I can't stay here. We can still do that and build a country where everybody feels, I like what Mark said earlier, let us look around ourselves in our communities, wherever we are, whatever we look like, and where there is pain nearby or in our communities, let's play our part, irrespective of what the color of the people. The racial laws that have been in place don't have to be there forever. Okay, and we've seen that a lot of times they have been used to benefit people who are close to those who are in power up to now. Okay. So BEE and affirmative action have not done everything that they need. We didn't even have milestone to look at, are we doing well? Are we doing right? So they have not been measurement for 30 years. So we can't keep going on forever with something without measuring it. Okay. We can't do that. We need to build a country. We can still build a country that takes care of every child, especially those who are historically and in the past 30 years disadvantaged by policies.
Okay, so redress is about compassionate, considerate leadership at the national and the social and the civic level.
Yes.
You just can't drive past the beggar on the street and be like, I even know this guy now. No, what are you doing about his condition?
Even if it's a white beggar, we need to say we are South Africans. Let's build better, amazing South Africans of all colors, of all religions, of gender identities, and make sure that we are better armed people for this country, for Africa, for the world.
Okay, so how do you get rid of almost 300 years of systemic racism? I mean, it was formalized in 1948 with apartheid.
Education. You have to educate. The thing is, whether we like it or not all South Africans of a particular color think in the same way. There's no color homogeneity in thinking, in attitude in South Africa, okay? So let us take those good South Africans who see the pain, who are ready to play their part, and there are many of them, and encourage them and arm them to continue doing good. So you can't say, for instance, people are saying the DA is white. We know that the DA is, I mean, it's led by white people, but there are lots of black people in there. Some of them are probably very intelligent black people who are in there, or other in the ANC that are black people. So let us build a community. Let's stop feeding this historic viciousness of men's inhumanity over the other on the basis of race. Let's identify people by their character and their attitude and arm them to contribute to a better life and a better world. We can do that.
Okay. Khomotso, you've got something to say?
Yes, Lerato. I think you guys have had a great conversation. I align more with some of the things that Mr. Haywood had said about why the dialogue cannot be just a national. It has to start somewhere. But now, listening to Mr. Mwing, I'm also worried about something. How are we? I think one of my frustrations is we can't wait 5 years or just for elections. There's a message that the electorate has given. But how do we get or galvanize the electorate to understand their own self-agency? You know, I think sometimes we talk about children, and children is great. But children grow up, and then nobody really cares where they go when they're out of school or not in university. So, like, there's a huge thing of people who cannot be accounted for and nobody speaks to. So I don't know. Perhaps we don't have to wait, like you said, for the ministers or government. Organizations that are already existing, how do we then work together to say, okay, let's awaken our society, whether it's ward by ward or whatever, but something has to change. The electorate cannot pick up every 5 years. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and the message that they delivered is quite impactful. But then what? We're not going to hear anything until the next time.
Okay.
and how are we involving them so that by the time you bring in government and you bring in political parties, we at least are having a sense of what the people are saying for themselves.
Yeah.
And then just last point, the NPOs are also quite problematic because, well, it's a survival thing. They're not problematic. It's a survival thing. We are fighting for resources. Right. So we then actually, I don't want to talk to Lerato's group because, you know, I'm being funded by so-and-so and that doesn't cover me. And that's why we're all here, because almost like Joseph Goebbels says, we are chaotic. We're all looking after our mess and therefore never working together. Right. And I don't know how we're going to do that.
Well, I guess there were no questions there. There were statements and I can hear you agreeing, Solly, so there's resonance. Let's ask a final question briefly. You know, all of these issues, values, alignment, being compassionate, being considerate, acting quickly, seeing the pain around us, responding, all of this speaks to the essence of what it means to be a South African. The same way in which, you know, America's got many, many problems, as you know, gentlemen. But once they get on the world stage there at the Olympics, shucks, they are Americans. And it's this intangible thing about them that makes them proud. Despite what's happening in reality on the ground, suddenly there's an Americanness or there's a Frenchness that people exude when they're out there. You would know, Solly, being in Switzerland. So how do we cultivate that in South Africa, this South Africanness based on these values? I guess it's the country brand I'm talking about, Mark.
Yeah.
It's Mark Hayward first.
Well, you've talked about values, and the national dialogue does need to talk about values, because our values as a country should be of Ubuntu, of solidarity, of anti-racism, of compassion, of empathy, of taking action because we have permission of the Constitution to take action. And that is the way that we will build a united country. I'm happy to be a South African, Lerato, but I'm not happy that we only come together and express our South Africanness at the time of the World Rugby World Cup or a big football match or a cricket match. That South Africanness needs to be something that is exhibited on a daily basis in recognition that we are all in this geography together. And if we fix it, we actually can make a country that will benefit every single one of the 60 plus million people who live in it. There's enough space, there's enough riches, there's enough resources, there's enough capacity, there's enough intelligence. The fact that we don't share it equally is the problem that we have to resolve.
Right. Solly?
Yeah. Okay, quick one. Yeah. I'm very happy that you're talking about brands. South Africa is a destination brand. All brands are led. It's a pity that up to now the president have to be president of a political party first. They have to wake up everyone and decide, am I speaking for party or for country? We need a president who can unite South Africans, who can lead and set the tone from the front, who can live the values of what South Africa is about, so that we don't just rely on the artists and rugby players and others to do this for us. We need somebody to hold this diverse country together with empathy, with balance, with vision, we don't have that in South Africa. And just a quick one, the gentleman who said we had a national dialogue is talking nonsense. We never had a national dialogue. We do need a national dialogue.
Okay. Thanks, gentlemen. Solly Moeng, Brand Management Specialist, and Mark Hayward, former Director of Section 27. It's been the Monday edition of Power Talk. We do it again tomorrow. Cheers.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.